It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Architect Podcast. So glad you're here. We have an exciting guest today talking about one of my old stomping ground topics, right? That's financial planning, but specifically, she's got a really great niche in financial planning. Let me tell you about our guest. She is the CEO of Francis Financial, and this is a fee-only boutique with wealth management, financial planning, and divorce financial planning. And that's what we're going to be talking quite a bit about today. She's got over 20 years of experience. She loves this topic. She's got a great podcast as well. And let's not take too much more time to introduce her. Let's get into the meat of what our guest has to offer. Please welcome with me, Stacy Francis. Stacy, welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm super excited to be here. I know we're going to have a great time.
Cool. Well, let's start a little bit with your credentials. I know you've got all these letters after your name, right? I have like no letters after my name. If I didn't have my last name, I would just be Mark, right? But my last name is my letters. You've got all these letters. They're all capitalized. So tell me a little bit about your credentials and what makes you so awesome.
Yeah. So it's a ploy to get my children to think that, you know, the pieces of advice actually are worthwhile. I'm still working on that one. My journey to become a financial advisor has really been kind of a different journey. I got my certified financial planning designation, and then also one that you may wonder why someone who's, you know, super happily married, I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary with my husband this year, I'm a certified divorce financial analyst. And some might say that's why my marriage is happy. He's slightly afraid. But in reality, you know, our superpower of where we do our best work is working with women who have gone through a divorce, working with women who have unfortunately been, alone dealing with their finances because their husband has passed away. And, you know, I came to this field, to be honest, not because I was drawn to this field. It was because I was really frightened. I saw my grandmother, one of the most important people in my life, be trapped in a really awful marriage. And she shared with me before she died that she felt financially trapped. And that's why she never left. And it was verbally abusive. It was financially abusive. He really kind of kept her out of the finances and didn't really allow her to participate. And unfortunately, it was also physically abusive. And it really was very hard to see as a little girl growing up. And she ended up passing away because of the abuse. And
really,
there's nothing good about that, except that it caused me to shift my life, to go into finance and to work with women, whatever their situation is, to help them feel more empowered around money, make better decisions, give them the support. And I feel like the luckiest girl on the face of the planet because I get to work with just really nice people who want to learn and maybe didn't have the experience around money and financial planning and investing, but are smart and want to learn that. And I know we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, particularly widows today. But you know, the biggest thing I would say is that a lot of women lack confidence around money, and it's just usually because we haven't had as much experience, right? I mean,
Wow. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, and just for the audience, we're going to be talking about women today. What am I saying?
Surprise.
Right. But, you know, if you can't handle the discussion about women versus men, if you're all into this woke culture of genderization and all that stuff, you might as well log off now, because we're going to be talking about women. And I love women. I honor women and I cherish women. I think women are probably more important in our society than men are. And so I really want to figure out ways to unpack what you have to offer. So let me ask you this question. How do women, you know, my saying is never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. How do women get into this position where, like your grandmother, they give up their power to their spouse, and therefore they feel that they're at you know, at effect rather than at cost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, Mark, because it's often just happens without us even realizing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a mom. I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and it's a little bit of like divide and conquer. And, you know, when you have your partner, you know, your partner's doing this, you know, this part of you know, helping with the family, and you're doing that part. But more times than not, he ends up doing the financial piece. And maybe because he enjoys it, or he feels more comfortable, or whatever reason. And, you know, she ends up doing other pieces. Funny enough, in my family, it's the exact opposite. But it really is truly about, like, you know, conquer and you know, divide and conquer, and just trying to manage a household where, you know, one or two parents are working, and you've got kids, and you've got family, and you've got pets, and you've got all those things.
Do you think it's the programming that our society gives to women, that they are not mathematically inclined or science inclined? There's that whole math science thing where women kind of don't gravitate to those topics and those subjects. Is that a programming? I mean, it seems to me, maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah. And it shows up a couple of different ways. We host something called Money Circles, which are just fascinating, where a group of women, we get together online or, you know, in person, 10, 15 of us, and we talk about our money history. And it's not true of everyone, but for a lot of women, money wasn't really spoken about, or it was the, you know, they saw their father dealing with all the money. And it just, it becomes their DNA of the story they tell themselves about how good or not they are with money, with math. And I'll be honest, I was one of those women. I did not raise my hand in math class.
Yep.
I didn't think I was very good at math. I actually took calculus and dropped out because I just said, okay, this is not for me. And bless, here I am. I'm a financial advisor.
I was just going to say, you deal with numbers all the time now, right?
It's like, I should be pretty good with it. But yeah, sometimes, you know, we tell ourselves that, and it shows up in a lot of different ways. If you look at the number of certified financial planners that are women, it's 23%. That's it. And women who actually own their own financial advisory firm, or even own a little bit, it's only 1%. So it does show up in a lot of ways. And so there's a lot of great work that we have to do to change that, because, you know, we have the same brains, we have the same, you know, everything. It's just what we've been raised with often, and what we've been told with. And, you know, women are in some studies have shown that women are actually, based on the same risk in the portfolio, better investors with higher returns. That really comes down to women tend to not churn their portfolio nearly as much.
Yes.
They spend a little bit more time researching. And then once they have that portfolio, stick with it more so in good times and bad. Not always the case, but again, it's just for many of us, we just don't have the experience in the same way that some of our male counterparts do in the investing and finance world.
Yeah, I think it, from what you said, it goes to a story that we create in our own minds, right?
Right.
I had a mentor that said one of the reasons we don't get what we want is the story we keep telling ourselves about the reasons we can't have it. And so we just keep driving those reasons in, saying, oh no, I'll never be able to be good with math, or I'll never be good with money. And I have to tell you, just I've been, you know, in the stock market and investing for 45 years, mostly in the stock market. And I can tell you, guys are at a disadvantage. Now, I'm going to stereotype this again, but, you know, we don't like to ask for directions, right? We don't like to admit we're wrong, you know, those kinds of stereotypes. But in the stock market, if you don't admit you're wrong, you end up hanging on to a loser, sometimes forever. And sometimes you just have to admit you're wrong. Like 50% of the people, when they buy a stock, are right, and 50% are wrong at that exact moment. There's a buyer and seller. It's what you do after it. And women are so... What I've realized is I think women are better investors than men in the stock market because, like you said, they do a little bit more research, and they're not willing to
you know, crawl into that hole and say, no, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. If they're wrong, they'll admit it and move on and learn from that experience. So that I kind of agree with you on that. So let's kind of start talking about, you know, what transformations can happen and why those transformations and how they happen with women that, you know, are all of a sudden in a position where maybe they didn't know anything or very little, because we don't teach it in our schools at all, about, you know, what we can do in finances. And all of a sudden they have to run a household. Maybe it's with the kids still there, but certainly the husband's not there, the spouse isn't there, they've gone through a divorce, or the husband's unfortunately passed away. So what happens, what transformations take place, and how do those take place?
Yeah, it's a lot of transformations. And it's interesting, I was reading a statistic, Mark, 8 out of 10 women at some point in their life are going to be 100% solely responsible for their finances, investing, wow, money decisions. So 80%. So your odds are pretty good, no matter how happy you are in,
wow,
your marriage or whatever.
Huge leverage for making sure you get control of your
right. Wow. Right. And so when this happens, often it comes along with trauma, a trauma of either going through a divorce or trauma of your spouse has passed away. And the women that I see, who are able to get themselves set up in a financially secure way for the long term are those that put together a team. And, you know, particularly if you have gone through either of these transitions, that team needs to include, first off and foremost, and some people will be surprised that I'll say this, but a therapist, wow, or a coach to help take some of the heavy lifting. So many women, especially after the loss of their spouse, they're putting the mask that falls from the ceiling in the airplane on everyone else who's dealing with that loss, whether it's, right, children or friends, family members, and they're not putting it on themselves. And so that's really important. Number two, making sure you have a great estate planning attorney, right? If you're going through a divorce, that you have the best matrimonial attorney you can get out there. And then, you know, I'm going to say and plug us, Mark, you know, a really good financial advisor that understands your situation. And, you know, asking friends that might be in a similar situation to you, who do they use? Do they have a good experience? And then interviewing that person. And if you want, I can send you, I have a great questionnaire that you can use to interview a financial advisor. Most people wouldn't know what questions to even ask, or what's,
that's
important.
So
I can send that to you for the show notes as well.
Yes, please.
Because these are people who are going to help you make really good decisions. And the time after you've lost your spouse and after you finalized your divorce is one of the most risky times, because you're making decisions.
Yes.
There's an avalanche of financial decisions. And if you don't invest the insurance money the right way, if you make a large move that isn't right for you long term, it can be very costly. So having
your most vulnerable and emotional time.
Exactly.
So I always say, when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. And here you are at the most heightened emotional time making all these financial decisions. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it, you know, the brain fog is real.
Sure.
I mean, every single person who has lost someone close to them knows what that feels like. And it's harder to concentrate. It's harder to remember. You misplace your keys. You forget words. It's a lot harder. And what I tell women is, you know, that first year, just give yourself a vacation from making decisions. Mm. Of course, settle the estate, work with your estate planning attorney, make sure that you get all those pieces in a row, but don't immediately put the house on the market because you feel like it's too big for you and it's too expensive. Right. Don't quit your job because you're not sure how you can manage now being a single mom and a widow.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself some time and some space so that you can take a step back. And then when you're in a better place, make those decisions and ideally work with a financial advisor who can, you know, map out all those different scenarios for you, show you that crystal ball of, okay, well, what would it look like if you did sell the house and move? What would it look like if you, you know, take a 6 month or year sabbatical from work? And it's really important. And I'll tell you why. We talked to an amazing woman who is a client now, but she called us right after her husband had passed away. She's in her 40s and had twins that were two. We talked to her, kind of took her through the process of how we work, and it wasn't the right time. She came back to us a year later, and in that time period had taken all the, not all, but a lot of the insurance money and bought a vacation home, which I'm sure your listeners are thinking, what was she thinking? Well, the vacation home was right next to the vacation home of her brother. So the thought process was all the cousins could be together. It would be really good.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense. And from an emotional perspective, you're right. But from a financial perspective,
yeah,
it doesn't work in her plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we have this property that she's having to rent out to make ends meet.
More overhead.
More overhead. And, you know, so just having that team to bounce ideas off of, like, what would this really look like? Right. Would this make sense so that you don't make a misstep like that could set you behind a little bit financially?
Yeah. And most people get sucked into some of the, and, you know, I'm going to criticize our field, but some of the Wall Street gobbledygook that we're programmed with, because I'm a big believer that we're programmed with a lot of junk. But one of them is, you know, you need to own real estate, right? At all costs. Like, real estate's a hedge of inflation and you get passive income out of it. And so they're like, well, I heard that I should own real estate. So they dump a bunch of money into real estate and then they create a headache for themselves if that's not what their passion is, right? And I don't believe that you should be in all of the financial instruments that are available. I think there should be, you know, tailored, like you said, to your personality, to your style, to your goals and your vision. So that's an interesting point. So can you give us a story about somebody who's kind of gone from knowing absolutely nothing to a success? And you've had 20 years in the business. I'm putting you a little bit on the spot, but I'm sure you've got some really great success stories maybe you could share with us.
Yeah, actually, I just was working with a client of ours. She's been with us now probably 8 years. One of the nicest ladies. Her husband actually was a financial advisor, managed all their money, and he had a longer illness. And so she knew she was going to be on her own. And once he passed away, she ended up reaching out to us. Money was completely not her domain. Very good with budgeting. But the piece that scared her the most was the investing. That's what he did. And for her, her biggest goal was to have enough income and growth from the portfolio that we could get her out to age 95 and beyond. She wanted to really help pay for schooling for her grandkids, which she has quite a few. And something that's really cool about her is that she's one of the only female horse race owners. So she has all these beautiful horses, and that was very important to her. It's not an inexpensive sport though,
nope,
right? No, it's sure not, especially if you're racing in Saratoga as well as, you know, other parts of the country.
Sure.
And we did it, and she is just living her best life. And funny enough, she's actually making money doing the horse racing, and she's made quite a name for herself. Loves her horses, loves her life, able to help her grandkids. And, you know, it took her some time to feel comfortable with the stock market.
Yeah.
And now she does. And even with the ups and downs of everything we're dealing with on what it feels like a day-to-day basis,
sure.
She's able to see the long term and that we're on track. And it's just, you know, it's what's most important. It's more than money. Yes, money's important, right? We know money's important. But money for most people is really, it's a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool that allows us to have options in our life and allows us to live our life a certain way, to be able to help, you know, the people we love, the organizations that we love. You know, and so she was someone that just had no part of the finances. And it's been really wonderful. And it takes time too. I mean, it wasn't like that the first year. We met a lot and, you know, had a lot of conversations. It doesn't happen overnight, but I have to tell you, if you want to get in shape, you know, you can't just go to the gym once. I wish, Mark, that would be my dream. That would be my dream.
All of everybody's dream, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, but it happens over time. And I always liken it to the first time. And I don't know if you remember this, that you drove a car. Yeah. And how nervous and scary that was. And now you jump in the driver's seat of a car, you don't think about it, right? Nope. And it's right. The same thing. It took you some time. Some time. Now I can drive in New York City. Like, I mean, I remember the first time driving in New York City. Holy wow. I moved there from the Midwest. I grew up in Michigan, went to college in Vermont, and then moved to New York City. And wow. Now I can drive like no problems. But it takes a little bit of time. And it's the same thing with finances.
Well, I want to honor you for something, because as soon as I asked you that question about a story, your face totally lit up.
Aww.
Right. It was just you. So obviously you love what you do. I can see, you know, how it could be a negative thing, you know, people dying, people getting divorced, those kinds of things. Those are tough things, tough origins, right? But you've birthed through those origins, and you now get to kind of glom onto those success stories that you get to build. So that's a very rewarding thing. And I can see it in your face, and I can hear it in your voice. So I'm kind of giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. If you're not watching on a video, okay. Her face just lit up when she started talking about this client. So I'm sure she's got many, many other stories. So that's really incredible. So let me just recap for everybody. If you're driving or you're not taking notes, first of all, Stacy says to build a team. And, you know, this is important. I think you should have people that you trust around you. I have a board of advisors. Some of them are living and some are dead. So, you know, I just kind of go to my advisors and I ask them what they would do. The ones that are living obviously talk a lot more, but, she says, get a coach or a therapist. Really important, right? Like it's about the emotions, right? 90% of investing, everybody, is emotional. So if you get a handle on your emotions, you can handle everything else that comes at you. Number two, get a good estate planning attorney or a divorce attorney or whatever, matrimonial, I guess you call it, that kind of attorney. Pretty important to have somebody on your side, on your team that's advocating for you. And number three, get a good financial advisor, a good financial person or persons, right? And Stacy's going to, you know, offer us a questionnaire that you can get in the show notes later on the Wealth Architect podcast show notes. Or I think Stacy's about to give us a resource where you can go and get her book. She's written a book, everybody, by the way, called Financial Planning for Widows. And it's exactly what she does, exactly what she's been talking about. And I have a feeling, like building that team, she's got a lot of tips and experience to be able to give to you. So Stacy, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, and we'll send people that way.
Yeah, no, there's a wonderful book. It's called Financial Help for Widows. It's a complete resource guide. You can go right onto our website, www.francisfinancial.com. I can also, drop into the show notes a link that takes you right there. It's really helpful. It's got checklists of, you know, what do you need to do in the first month? What do you need to do in the first 6 months? What things can you put off? Then fantastic worksheets with getting on top of what your new spending is going to be. A wonderful worksheet that allows you to really map out what your assets and your liabilities look like, which is a must to have, especially for your estate planning attorney and your financial advisor. Essentially, my reasoning why I wrote this is how many women that come to us that they're so anxious that they're missing something. Sure. They're so anxious that they're making a mistake. And it feels like all these things have to be done immediately.
Yeah.
And actually that's not the case. There's only a few things, such as, you know, putting in the life insurance claim, letting Social Security know, letting their employer know. Yeah. There's not that many things that have to be done immediately, but you know, it's like the weight of the world of trying to get this all done right at once. And it doesn't have to be. So there's some great tools as well to make it a little easier. Also, when people ask, how can I help you? Because, you know, at every funeral, every wake, that's what someone will say is, you know, oh my gosh, you know that I'm here for you and I can help you, but they don't actually say what they're going to do. So yeah. Nothing actually happens. So we have some great checklists of things you can get them to do for you. So, you know, calling and closing, you know, the subscription to this magazine or this magazine, you know, things that are quick and easy. And for a lot of women, what we hear, having to be on the phone and dozens of time explain, my husband died, I need you to do this. It's just soul crushing. And
well, I didn't even think of that. All those little details that do have to take time because they're little financial drains, these little subscriptions, right?
It is. Oh, and, you know, and of course there are the bigger things where you need to close credit cards. You need to change the titling and account names. You need to contact Social Security, potentially the Veterans Administration, their employer. You need to roll over the 401k to your, I mean, it's all listed out, but what's great is that there are certain things that can be taken care of by other people.
That's great.
You know, the cell phone bill gets put in your name, just all those things that take a lot of time that you can get a little bit of help with. I mean, I tell our clients, when someone says, can I help you with something, have them write thank you notes for the donations to the charitable organization that you've named or the flowers. Too many women don't do that, and they end up with so many darn casseroles. So much so that they can't eat them all. So, you know, enlisting that help, and, you know, also your team is really important. And to be honest, giving individuals something to do is a gift for them, because that's one of the ways that we work through grief. We work through grief by helping others.
Yeah.
Helping others is what allows us to process that and move to a better place. And so you're actually really giving them a gift to be able to help you.
That's beautiful. I want to end on that. I want to give the link out one more time. Could you tell us the link one more time?
Yeah. If you just go to www.francisfinancial.com. My last name is Francis, Stacy Francis. I wasn't super creative when I named the firm 20 years ago, but you know, it's stuck. So
it works.
We go. Yeah. So you can go right on there, and it's a financial help for widows. It's a resource guide right there on the website. And if there's anything that we can do to help you, you know, please let us know. I will tell you the organization I started for my grandma, Savvy Ladies. If you need advice and you don't necessarily have assets that you could hire a financial advisor, or you feel like you're just not ready for that step, Savvy Ladies has fantastic free resources. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. And, you know, be sure to go to that website too. We have a helpline. We have hundreds of TED Talk like videos on everything you could possibly need to know about finance.
Cool. Well, this has been a really wonderful interview, at least for me, and hopefully all the listeners and watchers out there, because you do come from that spot of helping, that place of helping. And when, you know, as soon as you said that, I was like, okay, I know this person's the real deal, because she wants to help people. And even talking about the Savvy Ladies resource is helpful. So thank you so much, Stacy, for
you,
being
Mark.
On with us and for offering your wisdom. And I hope to see you down the road. And everybody, thank you for being on the Wealth Architect podcast. Remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over 500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.